There we go. Question for Era.
That era.
Part where Sarah is a 2-year preschool Hebrew teacher. It has a tough time with this question. So you got to do Parsha with the kids and then go do Pesach with the kids, which is exactly the same thing. Right. Okay, the kids don't mind. It's the same thing, but you still do the same projects. She wants something different. But we're going to look
It's
at this.
kind of
We're going
cool, actually, that the reading comes out, as with it's a little early for Pesach, but does the actual Exodus
to.
coincide?
No. Well, no.
No.
It, I mean, usually, Pesach is usually around Parsha Tzav or Shemini. It's, into Vayikra.
Oh. Okay.
Getting there, yeah. So this parsha is talk. It basically just starts out with Moshe's second and third missions to Egypt. Right, last week he goes the first time. Tell says, "Let my people go." People all say, "Great," and then things get worse. Moshe complains to Hashem, and then Hashem says, "Go back." Vayera el Avraham Yisrael. I appeared to the Avot with the name Kel Shakai. Now I am going to be ashamed. I'm going to fulfill my promise. He goes back to Bnei Israel, and that mission ends in failure again. Vayedaber Moshe Kel Bnei Israel. Moshe tells Bnei Israel this. Lo shamua Moshe mikotzer ruach umevadakasha. They didn't listen to Moshe because they were short of breath and from all the hard work.
Kotzer ruach sounds like impatient or something, or
It could be.
lack of dispirited,
Just
disheartened,
yeah, right. Just,
dispirited.
psychologically, they've been beaten down. They gotten their hopes up, and now they're down. And now they just don't talk to us. So the third mission starts off Parak Zayin. I have made you the master of Pharaoh. And Aaron will be your navi. He will be your spokesman. Atat the bear, I call Sharon Sabecha. You say everything. Aaron, Achiche de Bear, Paro, and Aaron will be the one who actually talks to Paro. Bishilach Bnei Israel me'aso, and he will send Bnei Israel out from his land. Baniach Shele Paro, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. Rebeti de Otaib, and from Tiber's triumph, and I will perform my many wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. And Moshe objects. They won't listen. He says, "Go anyway." And they go. Vayas Moshe, Aaron, Kacheti Ba'Hashem, Tom Kanasu. And Moshe does all these things. Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, and Moshe is 80 years old. Aaron ben Shlosh Shmonim Shana, and Aaron was 83 years old. Bedavram El Paro when they spoke to Paro. So that's what I want to look at. Why tell us that Moshe is 80 years old? Why here, middle of everything? Right. Now, 80 used to be really, really old. It's not so old anymore because
On the other hand, people lived till 120,
they could, right? But still, it was not everybody did that. We'll see that, right? Most Mefarshim say it tells us something about Moshe and sort of Aaron's greatness that they really were past retirement age. They should have been sitting, waiting, not doing all this hard work. They're still willing to do that, right? Because 80 really was kind of limit, right? That was Tefillah Moshe. Moshe himself says it. We say this Tefillah. Yimei Sh'otinu b'hem 70 shana. Normal lifespan is 70 years. Being Berot, you're strong. 20 shana, you go to 80. Rabbam Havel Ba'aven, and most of their pursuits are all pointless. He goes Chish Van Ufa. It flies away quickly. It dries up quickly and flies away. That's the sort of theme of the Tefillah Moshe El Shalakim, about how short our lives are. But 70, if you're strong, 80. So that's why Sforno, Ibn Ezra, everyone says that when it says Moshe ben Shmirim Shana, why is it telling us this? Bim kol zikna, even though they're that old, Ishkimu, they got up early, he's Dazu, they were at Zrizut, they had the alacrity, Leratzon Konam, to do what God asked them to do. Kimnam, the truth is, Mishe Gilishmonim, that if you're 80, Gambi Mimahem, even those days, Kibar Avari Measeba, they're past being old. Gevurot, they're the stage of Gevurot, right? They're strong to they have Gevurot to make it that far, but you're not gonna doing a whole lot. Moshe, that's what it says in the pasuk. It says, right? So they're old, but they still do this. Russell
Do we have
Vachik says,
other Did we till now? Did we like Moshe was 20
We
when
haven't
he
seen, no, we know nothing
came?
about Moshe's life at all.
Years. This is the first
And
age
we've
we have.
seen years.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, it's worth something's here. So Rav Soloveitchik on this, the Chumash Mishnah Torah, says something a little different about what that means. Why am I told here he's 80 years old? Says some periods in Jewish history are dynamic. Great miracles happen and the Jew attains great heights. Other periods are passive. The Jews spent hundreds of years in Egypt in anonymity. The Torah did not record the details of Israel's sojourn there. The dynamic period of history began when Moses was 80 years of age and Aaron was 83. Before that, the Torah tells only of two episodes from Moses' youth, that with the Egyptians, that with the Egyptian, that of the two Jews, right, in Egypt. Those were the years of patient waiting, years in which the Jewish people, then as well as today, must display great conviction. We gotta wait. And so I need to unpack that. Why does that have to do? I mean, yes, they were waiting there. They were in Egypt, but that has nothing to do with Moshe's age. It has to do with the fact they were in Egypt for 210 years.
Right.
Right? Nothing to do with, I mean, if Moshe was 12 years old, there'd still be 210 years of waiting for the Geula. So this is a single paragraph from the Chumash Mesos HaRav, which was taken from a lot of different sources. This one says it was from the Boston Shiurim, which says in the beginning that he gave this shiurim in the 60s and someone took notes, and I don't have any of those notes, so I don't know exactly what Rav Soloveitchik was thinking. But I'm going to speculate. Okay, what's Moshe being 80 have to do with waiting? I think he meant something similar to what Rav Madan said, which I looked at in Parsha Va'era, this week's Parsha, 4 years ago. You may not remember, but I'm going to summarize that. This is Rav Madan. Because we have this gap between the second mission and the third mission. Right? People don't listen. He goes back, talks to Hashem, Hashem says, go. Right? Between the Lo Shmuel Moshe to the Atad Daber Kol Shet Zavecha, you'll go back. And this third mission is when he turns the stick into a snake, into a crocodile, and then plagues begin. And then from then on in, we have all the plagues, and you see what's right. But how long was that gap? Right? It sounds, when we read it, it tends to be okay, he goes back, goes back, back and forth, he's going back and forth a couple of days. How long does it go take to walk or ride your donkey from Memphis, Egypt to Mount Sinai? What it is. Nothing in the text, though. If you look at the Torah, though, between that second mission, beginning of the Parsha, and the third mission, where it says he's 80 years old, the Torah puts in the summary of Moshe's genealogy. Here's Reuben, children, Shimon, children, Levi, his children, Levi has Kehat, Kehat has Amram has Moshe. So it's a sort of flashback. It's like, it sounds like there's an intermission there. Something's going on. And the other hint about it is that last week's parasha, Moshe has a newborn baby. Who needs a Brit Milah, the whole story of Tikach Tzipora Tzar, that Tzipora takes her sharp rock and gives, and Vatichrot Orlach Benah gives a Brit Milah to her son back then. Now he's 80 years old. Could he have a new baby there at 80? Could be. It's more likely that that previous story was a long time ago. Ramadan says, we'll see, for a couple of reasons, that it was a long time. It was an entire generation. Moshe goes, they don't listen, and Hashem then waits another generation before he sends them back.
So 20 years,
We're going to say it's 30 years. We're going to get
30
that. It's a
years.
very, that's a very specific number that we'll
Okay.
get in there. There's a 30-year gap in there.
Oh.
Okay? He gets this starting from the point that the Mechilta points out that Bnei Israel worshiped the Avodah Zarah in Egypt. We don't have that in the Torah here. We have that from Yechezkel. Yechezkel telling Bnei Israel, remember, he's got this long perek chaf, this long history of the Jewish people. And starts out, sorry, by sort of six, by telling him, you need to tell him, Kormar Hashem Elokim, thus saith the Lord, B'yom Bachari Yisrael, when I chose Israel, Yasa Yadi Zera Beit Yaakov, I swore to the descendants of Yaakov, I made myself known to them in Egypt. And I swore to them, I said, I am your God. That day I swore to them. I swore I would take them out of Egypt. The land I had basically torn it out for them, flowing milk and honey, the most beautiful of all the lands. That's great. And I told them, Ish shikutse einav hishlichu. Throw away your shikutsim, your shikuts, your filth. Gulei Mitzrayim al tamu. Do not make yourself impure with the idols of Egypt. Right? You need to reject your avodah zarah. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am your God. That's what that means. Vayamarubi, and they rebelled against me. Lo vu lishmoa elai. And they refused to listen to me. Isha, she could say in a ham, they didn't get rid of their disgusting things. They didn't abandon their idols. And so I decided I'm going to destroy my. I will pour out my wrath upon them. Let loose my anger on them. I'm going to wipe them out in Egypt. Because they refuse. I told them, I'm going to take them out, get rid of your Arazara, and they refuse. That's Yechezkel. No specific time there. So Mechilta says, when was that? They listened to Moshe because of their despair, from their hard work. How could someone hear this good news and not be happy? What do you mean they didn't listen? What do you mean they didn't listen? They didn't obey. That's the not listening. He didn't obey. Part of Moshe's mission here was Hashem tells him, okay, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's I'm going to be your God. That implied a mission. That wasn't just, I'm going to take you out, but there's a condition. You got to get rid of your avodah zarah. They didn't want to do it. That's the Amar Lahem. She could say, no, Hishlichu. They refused to. And they said, but I didn't destroy them because it would be avodah zarah. That's Yechezkel over there. Okay? Hashem got angry with Bnei Israel because they didn't remove their. They did not. They refused to give up their avodah zarah. And this is the way Rav Madan summarizes it. Karsh Baruch Hu lo
hishmi. Which phrase in the Torah is a hint that they have to get rid of, because it says, I will be your God.
Right, right. That's
and have to get rid of the others. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's good. Sister.
What about that midrash that they kept their Hebrew names as a sign they didn't do a
Moshe Feinstein points that out. That's that they had to get their names, their language, their clothing, those ideas. And so he was asked to Shaila, why is there an Indian of keeping a Hebrew name, biblical name? He said, no, because what we're supposed to do is keep the Torah. All they had was the cultural stuff.
Okay,
that's great, but that's not what you're supposed, right? That's not the ideal. The ideal was to keep the brit with Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's right here. It is right. The immoral Bnei Israel, Ani Hashem, etc. Vayiti lachem lelokim, v'yatem ki Ani Hashem lelokichem. Interpreting that not so much as a promise, but as that's part of your job. You need to know that I'm your God.
Till now, were they commanded to be monotheistic, or?
Well, they had. It wasn't command. I mean, they had the tradition. Abraham was monotheistic.
Right.
You know, there was no commandedness there.
Yeah, but here it is.
Here, that's what we're reading. That this is the sense of beginning of commandedness.
Yeah.
That they failed. Okay. They failed. Right. That the only mitzvot they have are they are willing to, they do the mitzvah of Brit Milah, they do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach.
Okay.
They have not fulfilled the mitzvah of leaving avodah zarah. Right, that's a midrash about
Eating
the
of
fact that
them.
at the sea that the Machamer is saying, well, these guys are Avodah Zarah, these were guys worship Avodah Zarah. What's the difference? So that's the
But
way.
they had no other mitzvot yet,
Right.
right? So Brit Milah they had, and Korban Pesach, and I'm your God.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
Okay.
so they're
Yeah.
still rich there. So everyone, well, not one to give it up. So that's the mechilta here. So what Rav Madan says is HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo hishmina derachotem. Hashem didn't actually wipe them out. That generation that refused to separate themselves from Avodah Zarah, ahu gam lo ga'alotam, but he didn't save them. The salvation would wait for the next generation. Maybe this next generation would be better. That's the way it worked out, that this time they at least listened to something. They did, they did the had enough faith to do the Korban Pesach. So it was another 30 years. Right? Moshe goes back home. He's working as a shepherd, right? So he was 50
He's
years old in the
50
first
years
mission.
old. Okay.
He was 50. Now he goes, and he comes back. And then at 30 years later, he's an old man. He's pretty much retired from shepherding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Parsha Tenu. So in our Parsha, Hashem Shav returns Mimene Mimane et Paroshnitz. He gives a message for Paro the second time. Moshe Chozer al Taratosho, we're also a time. So Moshe repeats his objection. I'm still of sealed lips. I still have a lips. I can't talk in public. But Hashem Mimane Aaron Shuv Liot Nevi'o. It says, no, Aaron's still here. He was your spokesman last time. He'll still be your spokesman this time. Chozek Kvar Kara B'Sneh, this Ador, all these things, it was a repetition of what happened before at the burning bush. Achasneh Yavneh Shenot Dor, but that the events of the Sneh, of the burning bush, were always a generation before. Historia Shava V'Chozeret Al Atzma, history repeats itself, Parshat Va'era. Hashem Moshe Kvar Ben Shmonim V'Aaron Achiv Ben Shmona Shmonim Shalosh. This point, that's the point where Aaron is now 80 years old, and Moshe is 80 years, Aaron is 83. So he says that the first mission was there to that the people believe them. That's by Yemena Am. They believe. Then they were great. And then that second mission, he goes back, and it was when he gives them, this is Bnei Israel, you have a mission, you have a job here. That's my point. We saw this before. It's via the Temkin Hashem. That's not a promise, that's a commandment. And they
Yeah.
fail. That's the Brit. So Moshe goes back to his J job, tends to shiva for another 30 years. Where do you get 30 years from? Why Dafka 30? That's for anomaly in next week's Parsha. When Bnei Yisrael actually leave, what does it say? Umoshav Bnei Yisrael Asher Yashuv Mitzrayim. The years that Bnei Yisrael were settled in Egypt, Shloshim Shana Ve'arba'a Me'ot Shana, was 430 years. It was after 430 years. That very day, the host of God left Egypt. The problem is not 400. The Nevuah at Brit B'Avatarim was for 400 years. Your children will be strangers in a strange land, and they'll be slaves, but they'll be oppressed. 400 years. So where does this 430 come from? Rashi famously says the 30 years really, that the 400 years was from when Yitzchak was born, and the 30 years was from the actual Brit Ben HaBetarim when he got that Nevuah. So that the Brit Ben HaBetarim was 30 years before Yitzchak was born. That's got its own problems, mostly because it makes Abraham 70 years old at the Brit Ben HaBetarim, and the text actually says that he moves to Eretz Canaan when he's 75. That's Rashi. I mean, we can talk about Rashi. You can look at the text and try to understand that. Ramban says no. The Nevuah was for 400 years. 400 years came, and 400 years went because Bnei Israel did not deserve to be redeemed, and took another 30 years before it actually happened.
Oh.
right? Nevuah of 400 years was, okay, this is potential to be redeemed. It's not a promise it would happen, right? But Israel didn't deserve to be redeemed then, says Ramban. Ani Omer, I would say, ki pshat ha-mechaver min hakol, the clearest pshat way of understanding this, hu shenemar ki ha-gezeirah haita 400 shana, that the decree, 400 years, min hayamahu, from the day of that prophecy, from day of Brit Benabatrim, 400 years. Kasher
Well,
Skarno, like you said,
Brit Bein HaBetorim is how many years after Yitzchak is born?
it's before Yitzchak is born, definitely.
Oh.
Okay? But saying it's
Okay.
30 years before is hard because Yitzchak is born. Because Brit Benabatrim sounds like it's in Eretz Canaan. It's after Lech Lecha. So that to say that he had the Brit Benabatrim before the call to go to Eretz Canaan doesn't fit because it occurs in the text afterwards. You have to say it was a flashback there.
Okay.
So you'd say, these extra 30 years, him tosefet alehem, it was in addition to the 400, bavona darahu, because that generation was sinning, didn't deserve to go out. Because if there's a gezeira of galut, yinui and suffering for shana time for a year or two, yosif al chatato pesha, and during that time he continues to sin, yosif love sheva chatato, that punishment may continue on. It's not like there's a gezeira and then once you're done, well, you're guaranteed you don't have to do tshuva, you don't have to do anything better.
So what they do bad?
They're worshiping Avodah Zarah, right? Hashem sends Moshe. It's 400 years.
Not
It's
that
time to
they
go.
promised. Oh yeah. They could have gone then if they
Right.
listened.
But they
Okay.
didn't.
It's not that
Hashem said,
the
okay, next generation.
it wasn't increased to 430 before that.
Right. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
That he's got it. Ramban is saying that 400 years, hi.
Hi.
Looking good.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. I totally forgot. I'm like, my schedule is,
That's
like, I don't even
fine.
know what day it is. And then, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
We're talking about the 430 years and the
Okay.
Ramban, right? That they were in Egypt for 430 years, but the Nevuah was Gezeirah was for 400 years. But he says, no, that the original punishment, the original decree is not a promise. There's not a promise that that's all we'll get and not get anymore. So that there was a nevuah, there's a gezeira there, the 400 years. And there was no promise that at 400 they would get back. At 400, they had the opportunity, and they blew it. He promised that at the end of it all, they would leave with great wealth, but that time there. So that's Rav Madan puts those things together, says that's it. Moshe goes them, tells them you need to leave, but you need to abandon your Avodah Zarah. They don't. So Moshe goes back to Midian and comes back 30 years later. That's the 40 to 30 years. Then he makes an interesting point. So I understand better what Bnei Israel were going through. Let's imagine to ourselves, something, a similar situation. If the Navi would come to us today, we knew it was a Navi prophesying, does signs and wonders, that all our tzaras in the world will go away, yeshalom, there'll be peace in the land, there'll be peace in the world, and all our troubles from Iran and from ISIS. This was in a point where that was a concern. This was where it's written that Yitzchak will be over. Great, we'd be overjoyed. But what would happen? He said the condition for you doing for all these wonderful things, peace in the world, would have come. We have to give up all of our technological communication, right?
No,
And I didn't realize that was a classical word or not. Televisiot, right? Mashiach's here, but you have to give up your smartphone. There are a lot of people who would say exactly that. But if that was such a case, the Mesh Levater. For most people, that would be really hard. Be really worth it to give up your phone just for world peace? Drisha, and they would refuse to do that was required after mechira kaved for this incredibly heavy price of done haftachad l'shalom, and then people would be willing to give up. So that's Bnei Israel not willing to give up avodah zarah. That's part of who they were. That's what they did. How can you give that up? They've been Egyptians for 200 years. So says the Rav Medan, trying to understand what's going on here. So back to Rav Soloveitchik. Started with that the fact that he was 80 was a sign that Bnei Israel had to wait patiently. I didn't know what it was, what about his age there made that, but I suspect something like this. The fact that Moshe had come, could have come much earlier. The mission was there much earlier. But now they're waiting for another generation there. And that's the point where they're waiting patient waiting years, which the Jewish people must display great conviction. And he's saying that is today, this is 1950s, still waiting. You have to have patience there.
But and you're saying it has to do with age because.
That we mention his age because the implication that he actually the burning bush, the snow was actually much earlier, was 30 years earlier.
Meaning it could have come when he was 50.
Right.
He did.
But first time.
If we're saying from Abadan saying he did come at 50 and then Israel didn't do it, so they said, okay, that's where we're going, right? When she comes, he says, Pokar Pkati, and then Moshe disappears. Right? They went back to slavery, and that's still more of that patient way, that whole 30 years there. Sforno kind of anticipates that. When he said, Lo Shamu Moshe. They didn't listen to Moshe. They didn't listen, and he's saying they didn't have faith in God that they were going to be saved. Therefore, that generation did not get the blessing of, I'm going to give you the land of Bnehem. It went to their children, the next generation. In actual fact, as Ramban points out, it's not even the next generation; it's the generation after, because this generation that actually goes out of Egypt, spends
Because then
40 years wandering, it's the next generation they'll go in.
next generation, right?
Right? So, and Rav Soloveitchik says that's something about the nature of Gula in general, putting it to this day as well, that you get these hints, and then it kind of goes back and looks like we've lost everything. And I hesitate to say anything about contemporary politics, but I need to put the source here, the famous Shir HaShirim. My beloved is like a deer, like a hart, another kind of deer. No, it's standing behind the wall, peeking out in the windows, looking out through the lattice. You see a little hints of it, and then it's gone. Glimpse of the deer. That's the Medrash says it. I'm Rav Yitzchak. I'm Yisrael. I'm Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Yisrael told Hashem, "Rabbeinu Olam, Ata Lanu, boy, like you're telling us to come to you. At Atel, you should come to us. We'll be here. We want to see this Geula. No, Do Metzvi, Do Dilat Tzvi, Matzvi Azed Nitkalev V'Chozer V'Nitchaser. This Tzvi, you see a glimpse of it. Then it's gone. It runs away." They're all very shy. See a little glimpse later. Kako El Rishon Nigla v'Nechse. So too, that first Redeemer Moshe, he's there, then he's
Well, are
gone.
we shown as Moshe?
Moshe, right. We come, we go. That these little bits at a time. It's a process. Rabbi Yochai b'Shem Rabbi Levi Omer, the Gula Rishon Kako El Acharon. That's the Geula. Final Geula will be the same way. Goel HaRishon Zeh Moshe. Okay, there you go. Okay, if you're curious. That he's revealed, he's some, that he goes, he's hidden. How this geula will come and go, we'll have glimpses of it, and it seems we have to wait another generation. That's the what we have to expect. Don't give up hope just because it's not there. You have these glimmers of hope. Great. It will still come. Have the faith.
The
Part of the
command,
message of.
excuse me, the command, Anochi Lachem Le'Elohim, that's
Yeah.
in the second mission,
That's the second mission.
and then they don't want it.
They don't listen. That's the Lo Shemua Moshe. And then the third mission actually is to Paro himself with the whole
Okay.
signs and wonders. And Bnei Yisrael don't get their mission until later of doing the mitzvah.
Where do we have a nice indication that they are happy with Moshe and listen to him?
The first time. So the
First
first
time.
time he comes, it's by Yemin and Moshe, the Vayikdu, Vayishakabu, they're all bowed, they all were overjoyed. And then Moshe goes to Paro, and Paro says no, and Paro makes things worse, and then they all complain to him. And
Okay.
Moshe goes back and complains.
But it's not like until like Kiryat Yam Suf when they say like Vayaminu b'Moshe v'Hashem b'Moshe Avdo when they're like, oh right, that was real. Like it's almost like
Yeah, so there are stages of
like
Emunah, right? So they believe Moshe as a prophet back when he does the signs to them in the first time. But then there's another stage of Aminu by Hashem Moshe Ado and Kriyat Yamsuf, right? You create Yamsuf, you know, so they do something when they finally leave. That's the mitzvot of Pesach and Milah. But they're still really not there. So Yamsuf makes another stage in that. And then Naaseh v'Nishma at Har Sinai is the kind of the final stage. Whereas Vegam b'chai yaminu la'olam, they believe and accept the Torah, and that's it's all wonderful there for 40 days, and then
Yeah.
everything goes wrong again.
When do they give up their avodah zarah to get out? You
So
have to just hold them.
that
When
they
he
don't
was
really give
80.
up their avodah zarah completely, even when they go out. Hashem basically changes the terms.
Oh, make
Okay.
it
So
easier.
but even at the Yeshiva's time, they still have Avodah Zarah with them. That's true. Okay. The terms for
So
this, the
that means
final
like you can
Yeshiva's
still
rites,
have your smartphone
that
in Yom
we
HaTov
sit that maybe you can
HaShoah.
sub you out, right? We'll get let you have a smartphone, but we'll have to give up something here, right?
The
Hashem,
kosher
right, Hashem,
smartphone.
the second generation is the next generation is willing to change the terms. But I'm going to go into something a little bit different here because there's another side of the Moshe ben Shmonim Shana. So I think it's interesting, right? It's something that bothered me. It doesn't bother a whole lot of people, but bothers me. Because how old is Moshe when he goes to Paro? He's 80. How old is he when he dies?
120.
120, right? We say that Vayelech Moshe, part of Vayelech, end of his life, last day, he gives a speech. Vayelech Moshe, Vayeber to Elo Kol Yisrael, and says all these things. We remember him, Ben Me'ave Shim Shana Anochi Hayom. Today, I'm 120.
So that's the 40 years. That's good.
It's 40
No?
it now. Think about it, right? Lo chal olot seit lavo. I can't come and go anymore. Hashem amar elai lo tavor Yarden. You're not crossing the Yarden, right? I'm four. I right. So it says today. I'm
Today.
today. Today's my birthday. Hayom melu yemei shnotai yemei vishnotai. Right. Day of death is my birth. I'm today. I turned 120. Yom zeh nolad tibuzem yom zeh amut. That's the implication of hayom. Right, it's not that ani ben me'av yashrim, I'm 120, but ben me'av yashrim anichei hayom. Okay, the
Okay.
idea of dying on the birthday full days seems to be a good thing. So when was that day? When does Moshe die? It doesn't say in the Torah, but you can do the math in Sefer Yeshua. It says they mourn Moshe for 30 days. They spend a week getting ready to enter the land after that, and then they enter on Erev Pesach. So that we say Moshe's yard site was Zion Adar. Okay, a month before, you know, so a week before Pesach is Zion Nisan, a month before that is 3 days before that is Zion Adar. So you have all these Zion Adar Kiddush, the Chevra Kadisha, Zion Adar is a big day. So that's his birthday. So
Okay.
40 years, so they leave Mitzrayim 40 years before. They're in the wilderness for 40 years.
Right.
Okay, so meaning that when if Moshe is 100, there's 120 Zayin Adar means he turned 80, the Zayin Adar before Yetziat Mitzrayim, 5 weeks before Yetziat Mitzrayim,
He turned 80, like that
right?
year.
Right, meaning
day,
that,
like.
in other words, he's 80 when the plagues begin. You got 5 weeks to fit all the plagues in.
And does that
Well,
not work?
no, that definitely does not work. You got a lot of plagues to fit into that's something that short. Okay, you got, it takes a week worth of blood. He gets the message on Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, that about the Korban Pesach. Okay, you can't fit that. In fact, the Mishnah says explicitly that in source 20, Mishpat Mitzrayim Shnei Esar Chodesh, it was a year, right? Blood, and then he comes to the frogs, and they says, okay, pray for me, fine. Then he goes back and gives a message back and forth.
But
There's no
it's
way you can
very
fit that in
close.
there.
I mean, it's pretty close in round numbers. He was about 80.
Okay, so you can
He's
say
about
that he,
120.
no, so he wasn't, he was really 79 when it started and 80 when it finished. But round numbers doesn't work for Aaron, who's 83. That's not a round number.
Right, because then Aaron
And
would have also
Aaron
been.
dies at 123, same problem. So you can't say round numbers. Okay, so one option is to not take the midrash. Don't say Hayom doesn't mean today's my birthday. Maybe if his birthday was in Nisan, then he's got a whole year of being 80 to get the Makot in. Okay, but I still have to, what does it mean? I have to do something with that. So the Chasam Tofer says, okay, we'll take the midrash literally. Okay, it's his birthday, Zayin Adar. And he's 80, but it doesn't mean he was 80 years old. It means he's in his 80th year.
You
So he's
mean the
79.
120th year?
Well, at the end, he enters into his 120th year. He's in his 120th year in the last day. But when it says Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, it means he's in his 80th year. So that's the year before you actually, your 80th birthday is the end of your 80th year of life. Right? First year of life
Really, your
is before
80th
year one.
year is when you're 79.
Right. So he said that's, he's got to understand this somehow. He's the only one who really seems to be bothered by this discrepancy of a year here. That doesn't make sense, right? So his 80th birthday is that Zayin Adar before Nisan. This is the so far. I'm not sure I'm happy with that, but I don't have a greater better answer than this. And this is the way he puts it. But does it's Tzerech Lomar. You should realize that you have to say the Shnat Amidat Tamasnei Paro. That when they stood before Paro, that beginning of his mission, he Shnat Shronim LeMoshe. It was Moshe's 80th year. Again, this third mission here. It was Zayin Adar Shekodem Nisan Shebo Yatzu Naseh Shronim Mishleimim. And his 80th birthday was the Zayin Adar before that first Pesach of Yetziat Mitzrayim. So the year of the plagues, he was in his 80th year. He was 79 years old.
So Adar of the year of the plagues was when he turned 80.
Right. So it's then 5 weeks later after his birthday, they leave Egypt. The Isaac died that if you would have thought that when it says he was 80 years old, it means he had passed his 80th birthday. And as the Mishnah says, that the plagues lasted for 80 years, the judgment of Egypt was lasted 1 year rather, 12 months. And you've not, just go through the text. It's hard to put everything in a short time, 5 weeks. He would have been 81 years old when they actually left Egypt. And then you add the 40 years in the wilderness, because that explicitly says that. Midbar, Aleph, then he's 121 when he passed away. And that doesn't go with Ben Me'av Yashrim Shana Hayom, and I'm 120. Unless you want to say that's a round number, could be two. I mean, there are other answers in the Pshat, for that. It has to be what I said here. I'm going to argue that the implication of reading this, that he turns 80 when the Makot started and he turns 80 when the Makot ended, is that the Makot,
81.
well, if you read the text straight, you kind of end up thinking that he's 80 when they started, he's 80 when they ended. In other words, the Makot took no time at all.
The
It was
5 weeks
instantaneous.
thing.
Right. That it was, you have to say it's not there, but that you have the sense that somehow there are all these Makot that just do not fit in time. I think that's a useful way of looking at it. The Gula took no time at all, poetically, midrashically speaking. Okay. And that idea, similar to the way they describe it, the Aron itself takes up no space. Miracles don't take up space and time. They're outside of history. So about the Aron itself, right? The Aron, it describes the Aron of the Beit HaMikdash. Says that it was between the two Kruvim, that the whole Kodesh Kodeshim was 20 amot wide. There's a Kruv on one side that's 10 amot. There's a Kruv on another side that's 10 amot. And the Aron's between them. There's nothing, there's no space there. Pshat, it's under the wings, right? It's there. But you know, reading the text, it sounds like there's no space. This is the Gemara Megillah, Mar Levi, Devarzim, Masorah, Yadena, Mevatena. We have this tradition, Makom Ha'aron Eino Min Amida. There's no measurement for the Aron. It's miraculous. Tanya Namihachi, we have a bright like that said, Aron Shasa Moshe, Yesh Lo Esra Amot Ruchal Ruach. The Aron had 10 Amot space on either side in the Kodesh Kodeshim Beit Midash. As it says, the Devir Eshrim Amma Orach, that Devir, the Kodesh Kodeshim, was 20 Amma wide. And it says, Kanafa Kruv Echad Esra Amot, the wingspan of the one of the Kruvim was 10 Amot, the wingspan of the other Kruv, these are the big ones that were standing on the floor, not the ones on top of the Aron that Shlomo built. The other one was 10 Amot. Aron Gufe Hecha Havakai, so where's the Aron? You get a 10 amma kruv here and a 10 amma wingspan here. You get no place there. So, love Shema Minah, you have to say, B'nes HaYomei. There's a miracle there. Miraculous doesn't make miracles are outside of space and time. Okay? Same thing with Makot. Makot did not take time, they were ahistorical. You're not going to find archaeological evidence for them. They're simply a point in time where they just had happened. B'nai Israel were freed. You couldn't say, it must have been there. That's also less than the nature of Geula, right? Geula takes time and happens in a moment. That's a famous quote from Hemingway from Sun Also Rises about bankruptcy. How'd you go bankrupt? Two ways, gradually, then suddenly. There's a financial lesson there about debt, but Geula, same thing, right? Things seem to be taking forever and nothing's happening, but then all of a sudden, things can change in a moment. That's the flip side. That Niglalehem, Chozer, Nechaseh, comes, it goes. We have the faith that things can change in a moment. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says, that there are moments, and that a moment when Moshe is ben Shnonim Shana, all of a sudden, like great miracles happen, usually attain great heights, we can still achieve the Geula when we least expect it. So even when things seem to be going far too slowly, still have the emunah that things will change. And Geula happens without any sense of time passing at all.
It's anti-historical,
Ahistorical.
anti-chronology, no chronology. I think I like the 5 weeks of
You want to
the.
put it all into five? You can read that. You can go ahead and look. So look at these parshiyot closely and see if you can fit everything into 5 weeks.
So there were 10, so it's a week and a half, half a week for each.
Right. I mean, you got the Baka Bechor is the last one. That was the night beforehand. It says Dam is, it says Dam is, we have 7 days. Right?
Oh, some of them it tells us how
That's
long
right. We have
it's.
supposedly Dam 7 days. We explicitly have Choshech is 3 days.
That's 10 days.
Right? We've got, and then the other ones, Moshe goes to him in the morning, and then the play, like Sephardea. They can't, goes and warns them. If you don't do this, you don't let them go. The next day, the Tzfardea come, and then the next day, Paro says, get rid of it tomorrow.
So
So
that's
all of
pretty.
the plagues take at least 3 days. Warn, plague, go away.
Yeah,
So that's
that's
3 days. So you can try it,
and there's no overlapping.
Between Mako, no, definitely. I
No,
mean,
it
that's
was like
definitely
one week.
it's. Each one, Paro has the opportunity to let them go and then say, no, I won't, or his heart gets hard. Each one is a successive one, definitely not overlap. So you can try to fit the 5 weeks in there. You could
It
say
even
the.
it feels a little better than a whole year, stretching out a year.
I
I
don't know, it
wouldn't even
sounds.
remember the Tzardeya when it's Barad, so
You
long
think a
ago.
year would.
Think about like 2020, like just the year itself was like bad. I don't know. I feel like we have the sense of like,
We experienced a long march. Remember March 2020 lasted for
oh,
like seven
it's
months?
endless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the least worrisome thing in March 2020 was the fact that murder hornets invaded the United States, but like no one even cared about that. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. Okay.
Well, you're right, though. Our sense of time has is different. You know, it's hard to remember. Was it
Depending
2 years
on what's going
ago that
on, I'm thinking,
happened, or
know,
3 years
is it
ago?
long? Is it short?
Yeah.
Gulick is both long and short. It's gradual and then sudden. That's kind of my bottom line with all this. And with that, I will stop.
Okay.
Thank you.
Davita.